everyone. Welcome to our call today. Appreciate your time as we dive into more about the persuasion, motivation, and influence world and get you to the top. Everything you want in life is on the other side of persuasion. And we are going to give you a few tools today. And your goal, of course, is to apply them out. We'll take questions here in a bit. You can ask me over the phone. You can email them to me. You can do the contact us form at whypersuasion.com. If you are, especially if you are on a replay line. So based on questions and things that I've been getting, I want to spend a little more time on kind of the foundation or the 12 laws of persuasion. You have to ask yourself, how often does the law of gravity work? Well, every time. When these are used in the right way, they do work the same. So your ability to connect with people, let me just put it to you this way. Your ability to connect with people is paramount to your success. When people like you, they are easier to persuade. When people like you, you make fewer mistakes. So I want to spend some time talking about four critical areas of the law of connectivity. I'm not going to be politically correct because people judge you, and I'm just going to let you know some of the things that they judge you on. Now, I know it's not fair that they judge you, but we all judge, and this is happening. So the first one is attraction. How good you look. It's also known as the halo effect. And this is what social psychologists found, that when you're good looking, and I'm not talking about drop dead gorgeous or handsome, because when that's the case, it has the opposite effect. It's probably a little too much. But when you're good looking, people think you're smarter than you actually are, more trustworthy than you actually are. That is reality. Presidential elections, the better looking candidate usually wins. In the judicial system, the uglier convicts get longer prison sentences for the same crime The ugly convicts get longer prison sentences for the same crime than the better looking ones. In Las Vegas, there's a whole industry called booth babes. Yeah, booth dudes too, where they bring in seductive models, seductive people in their convention, and that brings more people in their booth. You show men a picture of a car, one of the car has a seductive model, and you ask them later which car was faster, it's the seductive model. We know in college, for example, better-looking students get better grades for the same amount of work. I know it's not fair. It's just reality. There's something about it. Now, some things we can fix and some things we can't. For example, part of attraction is the clothes you wear. Mark Twain said something really interesting. He said, clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence in society. I guess there's some truth to that. But part of your attraction is the clothes you wear. Are you dressed appropriately? Do you look sharp? Do you have credibility? There's a lot of different factors here in that attraction. For example, when we talk about attractiveness, we can talk about your appearance. You know that. That's part of it as far as maybe the clothes that you wear. We know that weight does affect lifetime earnings and promotions for people, men and women. Again, I know it's not fair, but if you're over 20% of your target weight, that does affect your ability to connect with people. Maybe it could be your hair. Is it groomed properly? Or maybe hair in unwanted places? Your accessories is part of that. And what a lot of people don't realize is it's also personalities. You can have an uglier personality. You can have an attractive personality. They did studies where they took a yearbook, they cut out pictures, and they described the person. And when they described the person with great traits, they were rated more attractive. Again, some things we can fix, some things we can't. But your ability to dress appropriately, to look good, to groom yourself, to look fit, all those things matter in your ability to connect with people. We know that to be a fact. It's very important. And clothes is one that we can all work on. They did a study in New York City where someone was dressed up in a jeans and a t-shirt, and they started jaywalking across the street, going against light. And most people won't go until somebody goes first. And they counted the number of people that would follow that person in jeans and a t-shirt. And then they put that person in a suit and walked across the street. They jaywalked, and three times more people followed them across the street. This is an important thing that we can all work on. So that's the first one, is attractiveness. The second one is similarity. We like people that are similar to us, has the same type of personality, same opinions, same lifestyle, same background. When they can't find something in common with you, it's like a sign that says, not a through street, you're not getting through, you're not connecting with me, you're not talking to me, you're not persuading me. You can find something in common with everybody you meet. Now, some people you have to stretch a little bit, maybe both human, both breathing air. If you can find something in common, it could be a sports team, a university, it could be a religion. Smokers tend to buy from smokers. But there's got to be something in common. TV show that you like, those are all things that you can find in common. Simple, but most people don't spend the time to find a couple of things in common. Now, when you do this, make sure that it's something relevant. When you say, well, really, you're a Gemini too, so am I, it's not relevant to them or relevant to the conversation, it's going to have the opposite effect. And make sure it's something positive. You wouldn't go to a family gathering and say, hey, you're not dead, good for you. I thought for sure you'd die from a heart attack by now the way you eat. Maybe that's not a good example. But it needs to be something positive. There was a study done where people were asking for money to make a telephone call. When they were dressed the same, they were much more likely to donate than when they were dressed very, very different. Find things in common. Find similarities. You could be in Germany. Let's say you're from Nebraska. You meet somebody from California. Whatever it is, you're in a strange country, but that similarity will connect you with that person. So that's the second one, similarity. The third one that we could all work on is people skills. People skills. We've never arrived in our people skills. This one is huge because most people think they're doing okay. Most people rate their people skills much higher than they actually are. In fact, the number is 90% of all people rate their people skills as above average. Just say, you've never arrived in your people skills. It's easy for you to connect with people who are like you, but can you connect with other people? Can you persuade them how they want to be persuaded? Can you connect with them how they want to be connected to is a mark of a great persuader. People skills. Harvard study shows that 2-to-1 job loss, 66% of the people that are fired from their jobs are fired because of their inability to work with people. The challenge is they're never known. When they're let go or fired or downsized, they don't say, you know, nobody really liked you, you're kind of a moron. Probably wouldn't use those words. They can't. Legally, it would be a challenge to them. They just say, oh, sorry, we have to let you go. They never know the real reason. I mean, think about it. If you were the boss and you had 10 people, you had to fire two, everything being equal, you'd fire the people that didn't get along with people or that people didn't like or are hard to work with. That is reality. This is a huge skill of success. Dale Carnegie said it better. He was the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People. He says, by becoming interested in other people, you'll get them to like you faster than if you spend all day trying to get them interested in you. So part of this is checking your ego at the door and really getting interested, really liking, really understanding other people. We could spend all day on this, but we could talk about some of the fundamentals here with people skills. Many studies have been done to really help you understand people skills and how to connect with people. Simple things like using somebody's name. Because if you don't have the people skills, the road's closed. That road to persuasion is closed. Now, this one's been abused a little bit. You hear telemarketers say, hello, Kurt. How's it going, Kurt? Kurt. And they use it too much, but there's something about a name. Even if it's similar to their name, it kind of connects you to them. They did MRIs, and when you use somebody's name, it actually triggers the pleasure center in their brain. Please don't be the person that says, oh, I'm terrible at names. It's not a function of memory. It's just a function of listening. You can use it throughout the presentation. It's such a simple thing. It connects you with the people. Use their name. Very, very simple. There's a next one is, for example, Smile. Smile will increase sales in retail settings from 20 to 40%, depending on the study. And if you want to do the math, Smile is free. It's very connecting. It's very endearing. Now, we got to look at cultures and the situation, but a simple smile works. You can take telemarketers who work on the phone, put a mirror in their cubicle, and it increases their sales just by smiling into that mirror. It changes their demeanor, and it changes how their voice comes through on a telephone. Simple one that you can use. Very contagious, very disarming. Another one is showing respect to them, to their time, to who they are, to their beliefs, to their opinions, to their questions, to their objections. Part of showing respect is not demeaning the competition. If you demean the competition, they're not going to do business with you. Probably won't do it with the competition either, but there's just something about that that disconnects you. And then you ask, well, what if the competition's terrible? They're not good in business. Well, they give them a way to find out for themselves by looking for endorsements or testimonials or searching them on the web. Any of those would work as you talk about people skills. These work. We can all improve in the people skill area. Big one, and number four, is rapport. This is the moneymaker. By connecting with people, you create kind of a harmonious link, a synchronization. And there's two things here we need to talk about. We need to talk about mirror and matching, and we need to talk about nonverbal behavior and things that really connect you with other people. So let's talk about this for a second. First of all, mirror and matching. You've heard this before if you've ever studied NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. What you're doing is you're accelerating a natural human function. You watch two people at a party who have connected. Their breathing rate has synchronized. Their posture is the same. They take a drink at the same time. Their energy level is the same. Their vocal variety is very close. We naturally do it. So a college professor's testing this out. She goes to a couple different restaurants, picks someone about 20 feet away, and takes a bite of the food at the same time, takes a drink at the same time, and ultimately the person would come over and say, "Do I know you? You seem very familiar to me." So if they're leaning back in the chair, eventually you're going to do the same. If you do it exactly the same time, you're going to freak about. It's not what you want. And this is not just body language. It's also their energy. If it's Monday morning, they haven't had their coffee, you're like, "Hey, it's a great day, how's it going?" There'll be a disconnect there. So mirror their energy, slowly bring it up, mirror their body language. It connects you with people. There's something about mirror and matching that is a power tool. Reading people's nonverbal behavior, adapting your presentation is part of building rapport. Learning to read people's eyes. You've heard it before that the eyes are the window of the soul. So let's talk about eyes and a little bit more about mirror and matching. Because when you learn to mirror and match their body language, their energy, their language patterns, it goes a long way to your success. It's a power tool for you to be able to read people. You're so concerned about what to say next, you're missing on ways to connect with them. We talked about eyes. Eyes are the window of the soul. Take time to be able to read people's eyes. What do we know about eyes? That's an interesting one. A lot of research has been done with the eyes. We know that when people wear sunglasses, it hides the eyes and it arouses distrust. We know when people avoid eye contact, it's a sign of a lack of confidence or even deception. When they look at you less than 50% of the time, it comes across as insincere and distant. When they start increasing their eye contact, they're starting to accommodate or accept what you're saying. If you see rapid blinking, it's kind of a little resistance to what you're doing or what you're saying. If there's extended eye contact, it could be anger, love, frustration. And if you can really take a look at their pupils, when they dilate, it shows that they're interested and receptive. Eyes are the window to the soul. We also need to talk about humor. There is a direct correlation between your ability to get people to smile, to laugh, to smirk, and your ability to persuade. Humor opens the doors to persuasion. They accept what you're saying is true. And anybody can add a little element of humor to what they're doing. I'm not asking you to be the stand-up comedian, but when you can add a little humor, you connect with people. They like you more, and it makes it easier to persuade them. Now, you can decide how much humor you want to add. Make sure you add appropriate humor and humor that works. Make sure you've tested it out before you use it, because the thing about humor is either going to laugh with you or feel sorry for you. There's really no in-between on humor. Work on it, and it really helps you connect with people. Then there's touch. Touching people. That's an interesting one. Now, we got to be careful in our culture, in the workplace. Men touching men, there's some rules. Women touching men touching women, there's a certain rules. But there's something about touch, appropriate touch, that connects you with people. Librarians who touched on top of the hand got better evaluations. Waitresses that touched got higher tips. People went and shopped for clothes. When they were touched, they shopped longer and bought more. There's something about it. Now, I'm not giving you permission to go around just grabbing people. That's not what we're talking about here. But on the shoulder, on the forearm, is all form of touch. Handshake is a form of touch. And that's when you need to be really aware of is handshakes. Studies show that a bad handshake will set you back 1 hour in connecting and building rapport. So you make sure it's a good handshake. You make sure you mirror and match their handshake. Because we've heard the complaints, too sweaty, too many pumps, too strong, too weak, too limp. All of those are in those categories. I'm going to spend a lot of time on it, but think about touch can really connect you with somebody, and a handshake's part of that. It's part of the culture and something that we get used to. Touch is an important one. Your ability to connect with people, your ability to read other people is very important to your success. You have to understand exactly how it works. Albert Mehrabian did a lot of studies on connecting and people's perception of us, reading people's body language. He said as far as your ability to connect and understand, your ability to read people and connect with them is critical. But they say 55% is visual. That's your body language. 38% is vocal, that's your tone of voice. And 7% is verbal, that's the spoken words, as far as your message and what's coming across. So your body language is critical. Your ability to control your body language and to read body language is important. The way you use your voice, the words that you use, is going to be critical as a persuader. Studies show that those can read body language and read emotions are more successful, they make more money, they have better relationships, they stay married longer. I mean, you can show pictures of college students and ask, okay, what emotion is that? What emotion is that? And those that can read them are happier and more successful. It takes a little work, but that's part of building rapport and part of connecting with people. When people like you and you've connected with them, it is a power tool. I look at one company that's narrowed down a contract, a multi-million-dollar contract, to two other companies. Similar products. They finally choose one, and I ask, well, why did you go with them? You want to know what the answer usually is? I like them better. That seems a little superficial, but it's reality. It's how it works. That's why the law of connectivity is one of the 12 laws of persuasion. You look at the medical field. One of the number one reasons doctors get sued is because the patient did not like them. We all have room to work here. We can all practice this. Let's figure this out. Let me give you some homework. This is what I want you to do. I want you to practice mirror and matching. First of all, I want you to be aware of people's postures, how they're sitting. Be aware of their body language. Be aware of their energy and be able to adjust it. Adapt it. You'll be amazed how this simple thing will accelerate your ability to connect with them. Remember, mirror matching, you're just accelerating a natural human function. You do this, increase your ability to connect, it will open the door of persuasion, and you will become a power persuader. Any questions about what we talked about today? All right, got one here. Kurt, you mentioned handshake. What makes an appropriate handshake? Wow. Okay, let's talk about that. That's very important. We talked about the complaints a little bit, and that's the biggest thing to remember there is to mirror and match. So if they're grabbing strong, you can do the same. If it's weak, you can kind of mirror that too. Now, one important thing to understand, if you're going into a CEO's office, especially this is male to male, CEO is going to have their hand. They're going to want to shake hands on top. It's a power play. It's not something you want to fight them for. It's just something that they do. But the great handshake is 2 to 3 pumps. You've squared up your shoulder. You're looking them in the eye. You're mirroring their grasp or strength. Then you'll do all right with your ability to shake hands. That is something that will really help you out. Again, that's touch. It's a form of touch. Any other questions on touch as far as when are you not allowed to touch? Well, that's going to depend on culture and the relationship and the spot. You know, you don't want to bring back the football slap on the rear end in the workplace. That would cause probably more problems than it's worth. But if it's a coworker, you have a good relationship. It could be just on the shoulder, on the high part of the arm. But there are some people who don't even want to shake hands. You have to be aware that they might just want to do the bump. They just might not want to shake hands at all. You have to be able to read it in their body language, whether it's appropriate or not. Any other questions? Here's one. About attractiveness and grooming. This question is, again, some things we can fix, some things we can't. We know that most CEOs are over 6 foot, male CEOs. Not fair, that's part of appearance. We know that the questions on facial hair. Let me just kind of explain the studies. Facial hair, especially a beard for men, does decrease that initial credibility, the initial trust. Mustaches do too, but not as much as a beard. I know it's not fair. I might look good with a beard. That's just part of reality. If you're not sure, styles, you get people to help you out. You can watch news anchors. A lot of times they're up to speed. They have to be up to speed on grooming, hairstyle, clothes. That's something that you can take a look at. But you want to, if you want to really promote yourself in the workplace, you want to dress a couple notches above the people around you. So if you're vice president, you want to be president, you should be dressing like the CEO and the president to make it easier transition in people's mind. Good question. Any other questions? All right. Kurt, I don't think I'm funny. How can I use humor? I'm not asking to be stand-up comedians. If you can get just people to smile, to smirk, to laugh, it helps. So if you were giving a presentation and you had inserted a comic or a YouTube video that you knew would get a laugh, hey, you're borrowing humor. I'm okay with that. You're still getting a laugh. It's still connected to you. If you don't feel comfortable with it, maybe that's one of the tools you don't want to use. But it is a tool that works, and it is one that you can borrow. You've had a joke told to you before, and you laughed, and you told somebody else, and they did nothing, because delivery is critical. So you practice it. If you really want to master this, I don't know if you're familiar with improv or not. It's, we used to have a show called Whose Line Is It Anyway, but it's basically it's comedy made up on the spot. They have most improv schools have little training sessions, little schools that you can go to. Helps you think on your feet, helps you be, increases your humor. Those are all things that could help you out if you really want to add that tool. If it makes you uncomfortable, you don't want to do it, maybe that tool is not for you, and that's okay too. The more tools you have, the more successful you're going to be. Good question. Here's one. It says, if I've blown it in the first 30 seconds, can I repair that first impression? Well, the cement dries fast. We talked about that. You can. It just takes a lot longer. If you can do it right in the first 30 seconds, that's when I trust them, I like them, I do business with them. You can repair it over time. You don't want to give up just because you blew it the first meeting, the first impression, the first 30 seconds. You can always put down another batch of cement and do it the right way. It'll just take a little bit longer. It might take you days or hours instead of seconds. But it can be repaired. There's nothing lost there. Nothing lost. Any other questions? Kurt says, Kurt, how could I use this and practice this? This is what I recommend. I talked about doing your homework for mirror matching. You should be practicing this all the time. When you're going to the mall, you know, approach a stranger. Go to a family reunion. Say, you know, I'm going to get them to like me. If you can make it part of you in an everyday situation when you need it in persuasion, it's there for you. Now, if you're not sincere and you're not genuine and you're coming across as someone's just putting on the charm, it'll backfire on you every time. We know that. We know that to be true. But if you can get in every situation, strangers, whether you're at a restaurant, practicing with the waitress, you can practice in every type of situation. Every type of situation. Definitely how it works. Any more questions? All right. Well, keep focused on that. We're going to be focused on the different laws of persuasion. With that, whypersuasion.com, we will post the recording. And you'll be able to take a look at it. Questions can be posted there, too. And with that, we will see you at the same time next week. Good night, everyone.